Hello, everybody. This is Cal Banning at the Banning Hypnosis Center in Tustin, California, with another Meet the Pros audio program. Now, all of our previous recordings are available at www.hypnosis.org. Again, that's .org, O-R-G, where we organize important hypnosis information for you. When you go there, you will see other teleseminars recorded by people such as Jerry Valley, Tommy V, Roy Hunter, Sean Brookhouse, Tom Nicoli, Ron Esslinger, James Ramey, and more. These are topics such as hypnosis for pain management, hypnosis from an Ericksonian approach, ultra-depth, just a bunch of good things. We're going to be adding more as we go along. I also like to invite you to visit www.hypnosiscenter.com. That's where I have all of my training courses where you can get basic and advanced hypnosis training. You can get certified in 5-PATH and 7-PATH and all that good stuff. Also, I want to personally invite you to visit www.calbanion.com. That's my blog. It's updated regularly, usually 2, 3, even 4 times a week. We have free hypnosis training videos there. We have news, opinions, and specials on products. All right. Oh, I just thought of something else. You should also check out www.ourhypnospace.com. It's a network of hypnotists all around the world sharing information, helping each other out, and just promoting their practices. Well, back to the meat and potatoes of what we're doing today. This is Basic NLP for Hypnotist Teleseminar by Dr. Will Horton. Now, you see, NLP has been called the secret weapon by some hypnotists because it helped them improve their ability to make appointments on the phone, improve their ability personally to go out and build their business, and most importantly, I suppose, is it improved their ability to use hypnosis with their clients so that they can be more successful. Dr. Will Horton has been teaching these fortunate hypnotists for years and has received an award from the National Guild of Hypnotists for his contribution to the profession of hypnotism. Also, I want you to hang in there right to the end because at the end of the recording, he's going to give you a couple of techniques that you can use right now, today or tomorrow, with your clients or with yourself to improve your success. Dr. Will Horton is a licensed psychology NLP expert and the founder of the National Federation of Neurolinguistic Programming. Okay, with that, we're going to introduce the program and get it running, but I want to make a little production note here. When we recorded the teleseminar, about 1 minute at the beginning of the program didn't get recorded, and that during this time, we're going to join him in process as he is telling you all about how he got interested in NLP. And with that, I give you Dr. Will Horton.
And what happened with the, how I got it back into the hypnosis is we had a guy that worked with us at the detox center who used to chain smoke cigarettes, and he went to see a hypnotist, came back and never smoked again. And of course, I'm like, wow, we ought to be learning this. And no one there really knew anything about hypnosis. So I went to talk to the guy who was doing the seminar. It was one of those Holiday Inn seminars. And he just told me the names of a couple books to get, and I did, and started reading them again and started practicing in the clinic. And then a couple years later, I took a formal training through the NGH, but had already been doing it for several years. And then at the same time, I did go back to school to get my, I had a bachelor's degree in sociology and theater, and went back to school, got my doctorate in psychology, and did my internship and all that to get my license. And I keep a current license in fact, it's in your wonderful state of California is where I'm licensed. So that's just a little bit about myself. I've been doing it for full time since 1989. So
wow.
That's it in a nutshell.
I know that your classes at the NGH convention are very, very popular, and you do an extended course. I'm wondering, now, what's this stuff about attending FBI training?
Oh, in 2000, I had taught an NLP class in Washington, D.C., and one of the students worked for the FBI, and she had me come and meet the some of the special agents in charge. And it was kind of scary when I walked in. They knew who I was. They'd gotten some of my courses, so they were familiar with me. And whenever you hear the FBI say they know you, it makes you a little nervous. And so they invited me to go through the hostage negotiation, crisis negotiation training, and I did. I did that in June of 2001, in fact, right before the attack. So it was an interesting, I was the only person in the room that wasn't a police officer. And they just wanted a little bit of my feedback, and I did end up helping teach. I taught mental health aspects at a couple of local FBI courses in hostage negotiation.
Wow, that's
so never really been a negotiator, but I've sat through the course, and it was an eye-opening experience, especially since I was the only non-police officer in the room.
Yeah, a lot of people don't know this about me, but I used to be air police or training security police in the Air Force, and I actually went through the anti-terrorist threat training with the FBI and bomb training and all that stuff. That was a lot of fun back in those days.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Good. Hey, so let's get into the meat of the matter here. Why should hypnotists learn NLP, and is it really for all hypnotists?
Well, that's a great question. I would say it expands your skills exponentially for a couple of different reasons. And the NLP, I look at it more as a toolbox rather than just a tool, because it's a way of like framing your whole communication. So whether you do regression therapy, direct suggestion therapy, other kinds of hypnotic trance things, Ericksonian, the NLP skills will help your efficacy, because it really teaches you how other people think. So you can customize your inductions, whether they're rapid or a longer induction, to fit the client. And it's also a very good overall communication skill. So when you're doing your pre-talk with your client, because as I've heard you say and other people, you know, your pre-talk is probably the most important part of your hypnotic session, is how you set it up.
Mm-hmm.
And this will help you become much more effective at communicating your pre-talk. And it's also got some very interesting slants on how to gather information. And then lastly, of course, intertwined with the NLP training is waking hypnosis. So you kind of learn some of the basics and some of the techniques of the skill that we know as covert hypnosis or waking hypnosis. Because as we all know as hypnotists, you can't not go in a trance. This just teaches you how to do it a little bit differently.
Mm-hmm. Now, here's a question I get all the time, and I am not, I've read a couple of books on NLP, and I'm not certified. I haven't even had the basic training. But people ask me all the time, and this is probably going to be the hardest question I'm going to give you the whole time. What is NLP?
NLP, here's my definition of it. NLP
okay.
is the subjective study of human experience and how to alter that.
Mm. And maybe the application of that.
Yeah, and the application, how you use this information to help people make changes in their life. It comes from studying several different fields and kind of marrying them together in such a way. It comes a little bit from cognitive behavioral psychology, Ericksonian hypnosis, the work of Fritz Perls, and some of the others, and to kind of synthesize that into a different frame.
You know, I think that, yeah, every time I ask someone that question, they have a different one, but I don't think I've heard one as nice and concise as the one you put together there. So with that in mind, I suppose it would affect how you do your pre-talk, how you do your pre-hypnosis interview, where you interview the client to get the background and history. And also, something that kind of dawned on me is when you're writing hypnotic suggestions for when they are induced in hypnosis, you could probably phrase them in a way that's going to be most receptive to the client. Is that right?
That's exactly it. Obviously, I know we teach in a lot of the, I've seen this change in the last 10 years in the hypnosis training, where we already, even in the hypnosis training, we teach that to use different words for our, like inductions, visual, auditory, kinesthetic words. Because if you're a visual person, a kinesthetic induction will drive you crazy. It takes too long, it's too slow. If you're a kinesthetic person, using a lot of visual words doesn't make a lot of sense to them. You know, if you talk about what you see as you're walking down the beach and things like this, if you were doing a more of like a progressive relaxation, they're really not going to hear you, because they don't see pictures in their heads as clearly. as opposed to, again, if you're a kinesthetic and you talk about walking down the beach, but if you talk about how the water feels on your legs and the sun and your face and the sand, that's going to open it up even more.
Is that like the biggest asset that NLP brings, or is there other something?
Oh, that's just one of the slight things. The other thing that there's a couple other very powerful things that it does is it helps you set a lot of the how you frame how you're doing the hypnosis. It can make your hypnotic techniques much more effective, much more powerful, because it gives you a little bit different framework on how to set them up and replicate them. And I've been blessed, I guess you could say, that I'm one of the few NLP practitioners that has been to someone you're familiar with Jerry Kine.
Sure.
And I taught at his school, which I think I'm the only NLP guy he's allowed in the building. And because I use rapid inductions in my practice, and I used to use some regression and things, so you know, I'm not anti anything. I always say you use what works, and NLP is just it's a nice framework, and it also brings into the format a little bit different way to gather information, and that you can frame in different ways as you're going through basically any kind of induction. Or, I mean, intake. So as you're gathering information on the intake, it gives you a little bit more structure on how to structure what you're going to say. And I guess the other thing that I kind of think a lot of hypnotists overlook is that most people have different mindsets on how they're motivated to do things. There's like, do you move toward a goal or away from pain?
Mm-hmm.
Are you more concerned with the big picture when someone gives you like a project? Do you just look at the big picture, or do you just tell somebody, just give me the overview, the big picture, the highlights, or do you want all the intricate details? And because if you're a big picture person, and you kind of are, Cal, the details, not that you won't do the details, you don't like to get bogged down them right away. But a detail-oriented person, when you start talking about a project, they want exact detail. So you got the, you know, toward, away from, big picture, specific. And another big one that a lot of people overlook, are you internally or intrinsically motivated? Do you do things because it's what you want, what you feel on the inside? Or is it more important what other people say or do? Because if you're intrinsically motivated, you know, what other people say or do will not motivate you. So as you're putting together, let's use a scenario of just like weight loss, and you're putting together a pattern script after you do whatever you do, you know, if the person's intrinsically motivated, you would slant your pattern more toward how good they'll feel on the inside, what they'll get out of it, things like that, not what other people will say or do. But if they were extrinsically motivated, you'd want to take it the other way and say, you know, your friends will be proud of you, your family will say good things like that, because that will actually motivate them.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So there's all these little intricate things that I think a lot of, if you've never been exposed to it in a kind of a detailed format, it's one of these, it's like a river. It's a lot deeper than it looks when you first glance at it.
You know, as you're saying that, I'm thinking about something that would be a tremendous help for a lot of people, especially who don't already have established hypnosis businesses, and even those that want to grow them that already have, you know, an ongoing business, is when you're on the phone with that client booking the appointment, something could be just a tremendous sales tool to be able to kind of connect with them real quickly, find out what motivates them, and get them to book that appointment.
Oh, yeah, that's, you know, one of the great things that this will do. I remember one time I was talking to a lady on the phone, and she was calling about weight loss. I was talking to her about weight loss, and it became apparent she was very visual, and she was very extrinsically motivated, though. She wanted to look better and, you know, wear nicer clothes, and she wanted to get comments from her husband and friends. And so that just kind of came, I kind of got that from gathering information. So when we talked about, do you want to come in for the free screening, I said, because, you know, I've had several clients here that, you know, they've already seen themselves drop 3 dress sizes, they're buying their really cute clothes now, and their husband says, this is the lady that I originally married. So that just, you know, she signed up over the phone. I didn't even have to do the consultation.
You're pushing all the right buttons for her, right?
I was speaking her language. And you know, I mean, you can be the best hypnotist on the face of the earth, but if you can't get them to come into your office, it's, you know.
You're not going to do nobody no good no how, right?
Right. So it's great for that, and it's also very good for, you know, as most hypnotists, as your practice gets going, you're going to get asked to speak to groups, Kiwanis and chambers and things like that. And NLP is a great little tool that you can fire back up when you step in front of a group. So you can remember to, as you're talking to a group, you don't just, because a lot of times hypnotists, because we're therapists, we're very feeling people.
Mm-hmm.
And we're very kinesthetic, so we talk about all the good feelings. But if you're stepping in front of a chamber of commerce, I can guarantee you half the people there are visual. You start talking about feelings, they're not literally listening to you, you know. Like a 55-year-old banker hasn't had a feeling since high school, then he's not starting now.
That's right.
But if you paint a good picture for him, he'll come see you.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So just things like that I found very, and got feedback from, you know, the probably thousands of students I've had over the years.
You know, what? You're just getting all these wheels spinning in my head, because I know the kind of challenges that hypnotists are up against. And because I run a school, I'm particularly sensitive to people who are getting started. And a lot of times, new hypnotists don't have a lot of confidence. And are there NLP tools that hypnotists could use to kind of help calm their nerves or to be more confident, you know, on the phone or when they're talking at a Kiwanis or something?
Oh, yeah. I in the basic level, I teach this thing called fear into power, circle of excellence, how to take those first, you know, whenever you're afraid, if you think about something that makes you afraid, you know, if I get the mail today and there's a letter from the IRS, my heart races. But whenever you're afraid of something, the first feelings you get, the first physical response of fear, it might be a tightness in your chest. This is individual as the person you're talking to and the people listening. It could be a tightness in your chest, a feeling in your stomach. Some people get a tightness in their throat or dry mouth or their hands. Whatever it is. That's your first physiological marker of fear. And unfortunately, for most people, that leads into more fear and more fear, and it starts with what they call an adrenaline dump. So it shuts down the neurochemicals, so you're in full-blown, you know, terror, you're in fight or flight, and you don't think too well. And this is what happens, like, with stage fright. As opposed to people that get those first physical feelings of fear, but it's more like an anticipation, and they channel that into, instead of fear or fight or flight, they channel that more into a high-performance area of the zone. And because, I mean, you speak, I speak, you talk to people that speak a lot, it's not that you're not nervous before you get up there to give a speech or a talk. In fact, I'm one of those people that believe that if I ever have the feeling where I'm not nervous at all, I should re-examine myself because that puts me on edge. But as long as I drop down into being in like a zone like martial arts or one of those, it gives you a power technique. And so the other thing I tell people to do when they're taking this kind of training, especially since I've been blessed to train primarily therapists, a lot of alcohol and drug counselors, and hypnotists, as you all know, at the Guild and these other places, I tell people, you know, bring a list of problems in your life you'd like to work on. So as we're going through the basic course, you can actually do some things in your life in real time.
Uh-huh.
Because when you change... When you use some of these techniques to make changes in your own life, it amplifies your desire to go out and do it with other people. So I tell people, you know, bring it, you know, if you're afraid to speak in groups, if you want to do this, maybe drop some weight, stop smoking, start an exercise program. In fact, on the first day, I have people write down, you know, several areas of their life and things they'd like to improve. So when we're doing techniques, I like people to use real things rather than just, in theory.
Oh, that's so good, because when they leave the course, they're going to be true believers. That's going to be a wonderful confidence-building technique. And also, so you're also saying that those hypnotists, when they see clients, they can, just like they learn the technique and they use it on themselves, they could also, in addition to doing hypnosis with their clients, just straight away teach them NLP techniques that they can use in their lives. Is that right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and some of the techniques in NLP is... they're very fast. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the hypnotists, depending on what you do, it's almost like a takeaway technique. So you do your session, and maybe you do regression, maybe you do this, and then you're done, and then you can give them like a swish pattern as an NLP technique, or this fear into power technique. You could take an extra 5 minutes, walk your client through that, and then they have some homework that they can do on their own.
Beautiful.
And it reinforces what you're doing. And like you just said, if you've seen it change your life even a little bit, or you know, the class of 10, 12, 15, 20 people, and you're leaving there and you go, wow, you know, Joe quit smoking, you know, Betty's got more confidence, and you see it and feel it in your life, like you said, it goes, it makes your confidence more, because you're not just learning theory.
Mm-hmm.
You're learning practical applications. I always say it's practical NLP for practical people. I don't get buried down in a lot of the theory and the esoteric side of it. I figure there's a lot of really good books on that you can read on your own.
Great. Hey, for everyone that I've noticed, some people have been joining the room. Once again, this is the Basic NLP for Hypnotist Training Teleseminar with Dr. Will Horton. This is Cal Banyan from the Banyan Hypnosis Center here in Tustin, California. This is a Meet the Pros audio program. It will be recorded and available on www.hypnosis.org probably this afternoon. As you know, I've been getting questions for this teleseminar from a bunch of our Yahoo groups, and I'd like to ask, I promise I'd try to squeeze these in. So is that okay?
Sure.
All right. Let's see. We've got something here from Patrick Tong from our Speedy Inductions group on Yahoo, and he says, he already answered, how can NLP complement hypnotherapy? Then he asked, how different are they in terms of technique used? How different is hypnosis and NLP?
Well, the biggest difference would be the NLP techniques, you can do them with or without a formal trance. Because as you well know, and everyone listening on the phone that's taken hypnosis, that the minute you have someone just close their eyes and imagine looking on a movie screen, that we know they're in a slightly altered state. They don't realize that.
Mm-hmm.
So, but a lot of the techniques, you don't have to go into deep formal trance to do some of the techniques and some of the change work, which is really valuable if you're doing something fast, or if you get a client that the first time you're talking to them, they're a little bit afraid, and even though you've done your good pre-talk, they still have a little bit of fear. There's some techniques that you can do that can put them more at ease without going into formal trance.
Beautiful. He also asks, is there any issues that can be resolved more effectively with NLP than just, say, direct suggestion hypnosis?
Well, yeah, I think one of the things that it does is there's a technique called the visual squash, which is it's like parts therapy. And it's a very fast technique. And what it does is resolve that internal conflict where you get the person goes, you know, part of me wants to do this, but part of me fights it.
Mm-hmm.
And that lets you know that there's a conscious, subconscious conflict going on. And there's a lot of ways to attack that. You could do regression. You could do cognitive behavioral. There's a lot. NLP has a fun little technique called the visual squash that seems to resolve it a high percentage of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And very fast, very effective. So it's a little bit of a different systemization of how to do some of the stuff.
Beautiful. Is that something that you could teach a client pretty easily? Does that take a long time to learn, or is it pretty quick?
It's pretty quick, and it's one I mostly just did in my office. I would do that a lot in the first session.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was just kind of built into my protocol, if you will. And so, but clients, they seem to love it because it's a different approach. And those of us on the phone that have had any kind of stop smoking client, how many of them have said, part of me really wants to quit, but...
That's every smoker.
Yeah, I I'm afraid I'll gain weight or something.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is a technique to help resolve that.
You know, I want everyone on the call to hang on to the end, because I'm going to ask Dr. Will Horton to give us at least one or two techniques that we can use in our office today or tomorrow, because I want to make sure everybody can have a valuable takeaway. Is that okay with you, Will?
Sure.
Okay. I have another question or a couple questions here from Fabiola Miguel, and she's a hypnotist, and she's a member of our Hypnosis with Spirit group on Yahoo. And all she had to do, she says, can NLP be used for fears and phobias? Any cases where it can be successfully used instead of age regression?
Yes. In fact, one of the things that got NLP kind of popular in the early 80s was their fast phobia technique. And it was used for post-traumatic stress disorder from Vietnam vets, which some of the post-traumatic stress takes several years to really surface, as you know, and several people. I mean, we're seeing the Iraq veterans come back with the first stages, but the mental health professionals would tell you it's 3 to 5 years from now that we'll really begin seeing some of the repercussions of this prolonged combat that these guys are seeing. But the fast phobia technique was a technique that that they did in some of the veterans hospitals that got very good efficacy, and the veterans liked it, and it seemed to remove the emotional charge of the memories, but left the memories intact. So that's something I know we teach in the basic called the fast phobia. Takes a little. That's one of the longer techniques. Probably takes 20 or 30 minutes to do, but it would it's quite powerful, and I've done it for everything from like post-traumatic stress to fear of spiders. In fact, one of the times at the NGH, I brought six people up on stage who had a phobia of spiders and ran them through the technique, and then I had a tarantula in a cage, in a little plastic cage that I brought out. And I had them all hold, I didn't have them hold the spider, I thought that'd be a bit much, but they all held the cage, you know, the little cage, so.
Yeah, they never would have done that ahead of time.
Oh, no, one girl even said, if I'd have known that was up here, I wouldn't even came up for the demo.
Ah, beautiful. Yeah, no, as you're talking about this, it kind of reminds me, and are you familiar with the thing called EFT?
Yeah.
To me, that seems to be almost NLP-like.
Well, you know what's interesting? When I see the a lot of the EFT masters at work, I'm tracking their language. And it seems like, you know, they'll teach you the technique, you know, the tap here on the meridians and the pressure points and that, and that's one of the martial arts I study, so I actually know the points they're tapping on. But I'm like, okay. But they can teach you that. But when I look at the ones that seem to be the most effective, it's the language that they're using to set it up, the waking hypnosis techniques, and the binds and things like that. I know, like, Gary Craig is very big in it, and he's a master NLP practitioner.
Ah.
So I think that's one reason why you can see some people take an EFT course and come out and get fabulous results, because if they've been exposed to the NLP and understand the hypnosis and covert and waking hypnosis as they're doing the tapping, they're going to take to it and run with it. And those that aren't familiar with it don't seem to get the same results.
You know, I think that one of the reasons EFT, emotional freedom technique, and if anyone on the call wants to know more about that, they can go to emofree.com. That's emofree.com. And is that it kind of combines, maybe there's something to these pressure points. It combines it looks like some kind of pattern interrupt. It combines some light trance. It combines even some classical conditioning all in one technique, and that's why it's so useful.
Yeah. And then I'll tell you, just to date myself a little bit, I go back. I learned it from Callahan, the guy that taught Craig and all those guys.
Yeah. Beautiful. Well, let me kind of shift back more to the pure NLP topic here, if you don't mind. I got a question here. Now, this is kind of a technical question. I can tell he's got a bit of a NLP background. This is from Trevor French, our marketing hypnosis group on Yahoo. And he says, is it better to reframe when the client is in full consciousness, or does being in trance enhance a reframe? Or would a reframe... Or would you reframe a problem in waking state and then once more in trance? I suppose by trance he means hypnosis.
Yes. I think the last option is the best, because what reframing does, and we teach that a little in our basic also.
Can you tell everybody a little bit what that is?
Well, reframing changes the perspective of what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
It changes how you look at whatever you just said. You know, it's like if someone said, oh, my husband, he's so stubborn, he'll never change his mind. And then a reframe of that would be, well, that's interesting that you're married to somebody that really sticks to his guns and follows things through.
Uh-huh.
It changes how you think about it, look at it, whatever term we want to talk. And there's a lot of different reframes and, you know, context and content, but I think what reframing does, and one of the things I always say, is it's a door opener. So if I can reframe when someone says, you know, I'm just too stubborn to make a change.
Mm-hmm.
And then if we can reframe it like in waking state, they're much more receptive to whatever you're going to do after that, whether it's a regression or NLP technique or direct suggestion. It opens the doorway for the true change work. And so that's what I think. I don't think reframing in and of itself is a complete technique. I never have. But I think what it does is really shift your perspective enough that at least now you're open to the possibility of change.
Uh-huh.
And if you really want to think about what reframing is, watch comedians.
Uh-huh.
You know, they'll be telling a story one way, and then it'll zing the other way.
Mm.
You know, so that's I mean, like a reframe I really like is I was watching Larry the Cable Guy, and he was talking about how, you know, he's at church and he liked being there because everybody's so friendly and loving and supportive of each other. But boy, once church was over, they're like madmen trying to get out of like a NASCAR race thing. Trying to get out of the parking lot, and then he cut off a guy inadvertently, and the guy kept beeping his horn, flashing the finger at him, and calling him names. So, of course, I turned to him and said, I'm sorry, Pastor, I didn't mean to cut you off. So what comedy does is take you down one path, and then usually the punchline is a reframe.
Ah, beautiful. Hey, what I'd like to do is I'd like to just take some questions from the people who took the time to come in and be on this call. Would that be all right with you?
Sure.
All right. Let's just we're going to see how this works. If you have a question, press *6 and ask. Say who you are, where you're from, and ask away.
Hi, this is Dolores, Pennsylvania. I just have a comment. I took Will's classes this summer at the NGH, and it was very valuable. And the reason I felt that way is because you use your own experience, as he'd mentioned. The students actually practice the techniques in the class. So it's not a passive place where you sit down and you just watch someone do it. You actually get involved. And I found that to be very helpful, and it made me more comfortable in using the techniques to my clients.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. And then just *6 yourself out so you have privacy. And someone else, *6 in and ask a question. I'll make a comment. It looks like you've done such a good job of answering questions.
Well, you know, and the other thing I'd like to say is that it's interesting for a couple reasons. Number one, I think what NLP does more than even traditional hypnosis training is it doesn't just teach us how to put people in trance. I think what we learn is how to bring people out of trance.
Mm.
So they wake up and see the world in a different light. They break through the social stigmas and taboos and beliefs that may be holding them back for, you know, making whatever changes that they want to make. And I also believe that it seems like it's been my personal experience that nothing happens in God's world by mistake. And when people are drawn to a certain thing for a certain reason, you know, if we're open to it, we'll be shown something. Last week, I'll share a little story real quick. I'm a storyteller. I was on the road. I was doing some seminars for a company. It was a corporate stuff. And there was a lot of travel involved. And it was not an easy week. I'll just put it that way. As my wife said, she actually started dreading my phone calls because I wasn't a happy camper. And I kept wondering, you know, it didn't put me in a great state. Let me just say that. Even with all my skills, I'll admit I'm human and I can go into being somewhat down. And I come back, and first day back, I have jury duty. And so I thought, you know, and I tried to put off jury duty several times, but I had to show up. So I showed up, and they had me on a panel. And when I walk in the courtroom, I found that it was a murder trial for the jury panel. And I was excluded from the panel because I knew the victim. I just met the victim a couple of times, but I was very good friends with his mother and his stepfather. I take karate with them. And So it reframed everything instantaneously sitting there. I think, you know, I've had a bad week and things aren't going great right now, and yet look at what these people have to deal with. And I remember when the situation happened that I talked to the lady and used some of these techniques. And the other thing I love about NLP techniques is you can use them like standing in line at a grocery store, helping people make changes, kind of in social situations, and help them, you know, cope a little bit better. And I remember doing that with the people when of course this tragedy happened to their family. It reframed my life instantaneously of how blessed I really am. I mean, I get to travel all over the world doing what I do. And so I bring that attitude into my trainings, if anybody's wondering about that, because I do believe that nothing happens by a mistake and there's a spiritual connection to everything. And learning these tools teaches us how to connect with that.
Yeah, let me say something to everyone that's listening is, over the last few years, and particularly in the last couple of years, I've gotten to know Will better, and he's just really a cool guy. I mean, he really cares about the people he's working with, and, you know, he's not just a psychologist. He's just a really cool guy, and I'm, you know, very happy and blessed to be getting to know him better, and that's why I want to bring him to our center to do a training. Good. Hey.
And I got a Harley.
And you got a Harley, so you're totally cool. A lot of people out there don't know I'm a biker at heart, and I even used to wear colors and prospects and all that kind of stuff. Oh. If anyone knows what that means, but I kind of have this interesting life between one time when I was in law enforcement and the other, I was being looked at by law enforcement as I rode down the street with my shady-looking friends, and now I've found nirvana in hypnosis. So that's really great. Well, why don't you give us a couple of techniques that the callers, the listeners, and people listening to the recordings can use in their office today or tomorrow with, you know, either to make them better hypnotists or to help their clients out.
Okay. Well, let's go back and I'll do that one about fear into power. Show some
okay.
People. So what I'd like everybody to do is, first of all, think about something that really makes you afraid. And you're not going to share it with anybody, so something that really makes you afraid. And notice, where in your body do you feel the first inklings of fear? Maybe it's your stomach, maybe it's your chest, your throat, your hands, wherever it is, just the very first inklings of fear when you think about something that makes you afraid. Okay, good. Now kind of put that to the side. Now what I'd like you to do is imagine being at your very best. I mean, one of those days where you're, oof, you're on, you're good. Even if you make a mistake, it was not really a mistake, it turned out to be a brilliant thing to do. You know, it's like you're one step ahead of your of everything that's going on. You feel good, energetic, one of those days of you at your very best. And I'd like you to close your eyes and really imagine being at your very best, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, where you're on. And as you feel those feelings, think about that time you were on, like make a fist or an okay sign, whichever one, and take a deep breath in and really feel those feelings of being at your very best. Good. Now open your eyes. And now close your eyes and think of another time in your life where you were at your very best. Maybe a different kind of context. Maybe physically. Maybe you were working out or doing something physical where you were really on. And you felt good, energetic, motivated. The world was your oyster. And as you really access those feelings, amplify them wherever they are. And again, take a deep breath and make that okay sign or that fist. Good. And now what we're going to do is kind of do something a little different. What I'd like you to do now is open your eyes, and now close your eyes, and think about that first feeling of fear, your throat, your stomach, wherever it is. Start to feel that first feeling of fear. And as you notice it, acknowledge it, because it's your body trying to tell you to take care of yourself. And as you do, make your fist or your okay sign, take a deep breath, and then reaccess those feelings of being at your very best. Good. Now open your eyes and close your eyes. Let's do that again. Think about the first inklings of fear, wherever you feel them. Acknowledge them, thank them, and then make your fist or your okay sign. Take your deep breath and imagine stepping into that feeling of excellence, of you at your very best. Good. Open your eyes. And we'll do that one more time to seal it. start to feel that fear, and instantaneously, just take your deep breath, make your okay sign, and you feel empowered and focused. And so let yourself know that the next time you start feeling some of those feelings of fear and trepidation, it's going to automatically bring up being at your very best, so you can't wait to attack the situation, because the problem is nothing more than an opportunity to do something different.
Beautiful. As I'm doing that with you, I just feel like I want to run out and do something.
Yeah.
I want to be in front of a crowd teaching or something.
Okay.
Yeah, it really brings you into that good state, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Beautiful. If anyone has any questions about that technique, star six yourself in and ask away. I know we have a number of people in the room or on the teleconference. Or...
Cool.
All right, good. How about one more for us? You got one more, Will?
Sure. What I'd like you to do is just take a deep breath. I always have people do that and close your eyes. And I'd like you to imagine something that you put off doing, whatever it is, and find that part of you that fights it. And acknowledge that part of you. You know, maybe you don't want to do it yet, like start an exercise program or whatever it is. But the part of you that fights it. And just let that part of you that fights it take a color, a shape, a sound, a feeling. And now, I'd like you to acknowledge this, because really we're just going to update some information in your program of your mind, in your computer. And many times as we're growing up, we mislearn information. And so the programs kind of get stuck in our heads. You know, I mean, for weight loss and that, we hear you have to clean your plate. What our parents really meant was don't be wasteful. You know, maybe you heard exercises work, rather than realize exercise is freeing the body. So it's just kind of like we mislearn things. So whatever that you want to accomplish and whatever's holding you back, just be open to seeing it in a new light, realizing maybe you mislearned the situation a little bit. So you can look at it in a new light. Good. And now next to it in your mind's eye, in mind's head, imagine the part of you that really wants to do this, whatever it happens to be. And let that part take a color, a shape, a sound, a feeling. Good. And know all the reasons you want to accomplish this. You'll feel better. You'll accomplish the goal. It'll give you the positives that you want out of it. All of those good things from this. Good. And now maybe for the first time in your life, the part of you that wants to make this change can reassure the part of you that fights it, that you can do this and take care of yourself. Good. And the part of you that used to fight it agrees to look at it in a new light. And so they begin to negotiate and work out every single detail, consciously and subconsciously, physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, for you to accomplish this goal and still take care of yourself in every way. And so they work out things you're not even aware of, and they begin to blend and merge in a way that will surprise and delight you. And you'll be surprised and delighted at what this new part looks like, sounds like, and feels like as it merges into one. Because together, they have much more power than they ever had alone. Good. And now when you're ready, bring this part back inside yourself. And you can be open to making these changes, maybe now, maybe in a few minutes, maybe today or tomorrow. But you begin to look at opportunities to make the changes. And so when you're ready, take a deep breath. Exhale. Open your eyes. Good.
Wow, I could see how you could that if you did hypnosis first, that would just fit right into a session, wouldn't it?
Oh yeah, yeah.
If you did an induction and yeah.
Yeah, if we'd have done a 5-minute induction and took a little longer with that, you know, I would because of course if I was working one on one with somebody, I would have customized it,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
for smoking or weight loss or. Exercise, anything like that. That's a great technique to start somebody to want to exercise.
Beautiful. Hey, you know, it's almost time to wrap it up. Does anyone have any questions about that? If you do, just star six yourself in, ask a question or give a comment. I heard something going on there. Does anyone have a question?
Hello? Hi. Hey, Cal?
Yes.
Yeah, this is Kim Bothwell up in San Luis Obispo.
Hello, Kim.
How are you? Anyhow, I've often been kind of an unofficial observer or employer of NLP because I think I came in through it through the back door, because way back when I forced myself to go into sales. And every time I would go in to hear somebody do NLP, I go, well, that's basic sales 101. And then I would see some extra stuff throw in there. But then you'd see some master salesman, and he would literally have the guy smelling the leather and doing that stuff. And the next thing you know, I'm sorry, the car is sold. And the guy would want it more. And he says, oh, wait a second, it's not sold. And it seems like there's a way of creating the balance. And the first technique that he gave us, that's what working with fear. How would that employ with somebody that's smoking? I actually have a client this afternoon. It's probably the most difficult smoking client I've ever had. He's a four-pack-a-day smoker. We've got him down to about less than one, but it's been like a battle, and we just can't seem to get him to go that extra mile. And I've done AR. He blanks out on AR. And I've been doing some NLP, and the guy sounds totally different. He's a lot more optimistic. I mean, when he did age regression, he felt sorry for his child because he was going to grow up to be himself. And I was like, oh, geez, this isn't too good, you know. So how could we use NLP when we have somebody that's a particularly difficult client that's just, we've got him there? Because I can see where this works with fear, because you're actually using that the response to need.
Right. Well, you might try it with his, where does he first feel the physical craving for a cigarette? You know, mm-hmm. Is it in his throat, is it in his mouth? Sometimes some smokers, it's their hand.
Yeah.
Wherever it is, and link that to some positive thing that he's accomplished in his life, where, especially if he's ever accomplished something that he never thought he could accomplish.
Yeah.
And so if you could take the feeling of craving and then basically do the same kind of technique but put it into something that he accomplished, that might work. I've done that with some of those stubborn smokers.
Yeah.
Smokers every year are getting harder.
It almost seems like as we become more inundated with information, our filters get tougher and more resilient to ward
there's some
off.
Research. Yeah, I do still follow some of the research, and there's some research that people that are still smoking are much more hardcore addicts and have a little bit of an antisocial personality slant. Because you can't smoke in public. So you guys are in California. You can't, you know, I think it's almost a capital crime to smoke there, isn't it?
I think you're going to go directly to jail. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200, you know.
So, yeah, so you're dealing with some of that, you know, that rebellion. So, but you might try the, like I said, the first inklings of where he feels the craving,
okay,
and link that into some positives. Try that.
Yeah.
And then hit him in the head with a board.
Yeah. I think I like to hit him in the head with a board. You know, in his age regression, he actually came out. He would go to blank out at age regression. But he tells me his mom hit him in the head with a frying pan.
Yeah.
Oh.
Good feelings about his parents. They loved him. I'm going like, well, that's a serious message about love, you know. Who'd want to fall in love if you're going to get a frying pan following it?
Yeah.
But, and another one, I actually had somebody that was the rebel, and when we just sit there and say, well, what are you rebelling against? You know, here's the deal. These guys are taking your money. They're stealing your home. And not only that, if you die, they're going to take away your family's fortune. They can even go after your kids. I think you should rebel against the tobacco cartel and throw those things out. And it actually really worked really well.
Now, there's a reframe,
that's
right?
That's a reframe, yeah.
Yeah. So I guess we do it a lot, or I'm kind of a natural at it, but I still feel like I always need to know more and want to know more.
Yeah, like a reframe. I was teaching a class, and there was a guy there who smoked, and he goes, yeah, but he likes the Marlboro Man. I said, oh, you like the cowboy image? And he goes, yeah, I love the cowboy image. I go, Brokeback Mountain kind of cowboy?
Oh, beautiful.
And he went, I hate you. But that was a reframe on the image in his mind. So, and that's the kind of stuff I like to do.
Yeah, well, I kind of do. I kind of have that smart-ass streak in me somewhere along the way. It works sometimes. And I think
he said he wanted to quit smoking, so I was going after what he wanted. So
that's right.
You know,
good.
I'll leverage anything I got. So
beautiful.
And I was going to ask one other thing. Are there certain ways when you identify, because I always think in hypnosis that people are more able to move through their off of their predominant senses. So if a guy's more visual, you can actually start to maybe hit them sideways with something hearing. But I feel like it's time to start to activate all the senses, even though somebody will be predominantly visual or auditory.
Yeah. Once you're in trance, all your senses are more heightened, but it's more effective if you still use their predominant one more than the others.
Yes.
And there's a thing called synesthesia where you do begin to link the senses together.
Oh. Okay.
And so one leads into the other. It's like the guy who tasted shapes or the person who could smell colors. And without LSD, ladies and gentlemen, there's a little technique that I usually do that one in the basic too, teach synesthesia on how to link your senses together, which is very powerful for hypnotists.
Well, I definitely want to be in this course. It's going to be at our center, and so I got no excuses. I know it's going to help me out a lot because I'm kind of like Kim. You know, I've done, read a book here, read an article there, and that kind of thing, and I think getting just that good basic foundation will really help me out.
Yeah, and it's one of those things that after you sit through the basic course, then the books make much more sense, too.
Right.
Kind of like after you've been through a hypnosis course, now you read a hypnosis book, it's much different than before.
Sure.
And so this will open up your field even more. I guarantee it.
I guarantee. Okay, good. Anyone else? Please start, fix yourself out for your privacy. And anyone else have a quick question for Will? Star six yourself in.
Okay.
Hey, well, this NFNLP organization, well, how is that, you know, I suppose that is a particular version of NLP, and how is that different from others?
The National Federation of Neurolinguistic Programming is probably, it's been in existence since 1992, and we started it to expand on practical NLP for practical people, focusing on the techniques that work, because I've always had a clinic or see clients. I'm not just a teacher. I still see clients. So, you know, I don't, like I said at the beginning, I don't get lost in theory and the esoteric side of it. I want techniques that work. That's what I teach. So that's kind of our slant. And probably the other big thing, and the reason it kind of got started is, as you well know, I kind of network with the hypnosis organizations. You know, the NGH, you do a lot with IACT, IMDHA, a lot of the hypnosis organizations. So in my basic NLP, I don't teach hypnosis. In some of the NLP courses, they're only a few days longer than mine, they teach a sort of Ericksonian approach to hypnosis, which I've never really found all that effective unless you've really studied it. And so I don't teach the hypnosis, so that takes a couple of days out of the training and makes it much more compact because, like when I come to your center, probably, let's say we have 20 people, 18 of them will be certified hypnotists.
Yeah.
So I don't have to teach that. They already understand the conscious and the subconscious, so we kind of hit the ground running and never stop.
Beautiful. That's why I'm really asking you, when you come to our center, to not just do a basic NLP course, but to slant it to be a basic NLP course for hypnotists. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
So I'm excited about that, and I think it's going to find that niche and really be welcome. So.
Cool.
Hey, let's see. Now, after someone takes your course, is there any kind of ongoing support or anything like that?
Yeah, we're working on building up kind of like what you're doing. We have a users group on one line. I'm going to start another one. We have an e-zine that goes out at least once a month, and I'm trying to do more. We have conference calls. I have this one. I publicized it, and I'm having another one, so you'll be on our mailing list for conference calls. I want to start kind of what you're doing and ask the expert. Probably in a month or two, or probably after the training, I'll have you on our conference call.
Hey, be glad to do it.
And so I'm networking with people to bring more information to more people. And, of course, I'm accessible by email and sometimes by phone, depending on my travel schedule. In the next 3 months, I'm overseas a lot, so I'm trying to cut that down.
Me too.
So, I go to Singapore, or I go to...
Malaysia?
Yeah, I go to Malaysia and India, and then Singapore and Malaysia in the next month, and then back to India. So I'm trying to cut back some of my international travel. So if I'm traveling, it'll have to be email. But when I'm home, you know, it may take a day or two, but I try to get back to all the people that call or if they have questions.
Good. Well, I know we're going to do great things together. Oh, and if you want to, you can open up an NLP interest group on our, we have a professional networking site called OurHypnoSpace.com, and there's 400 or 500 hypnotists all networked there. So if you want to do that, that's fine too.
Yeah, I'll do that in the next day or two.
Yeah, man.
Cool.
All right. Anything? Yes.
I got a big question, because I'm real. Anybody that can, that likes Larry the Cable Guy, has got to be a great teacher. And I wanted just to kind of put a plug in. When is the course? Where is it?
Ah, so that's my curiosity approach.
Yeah.
Let's see. Okay, everybody, just in case you actually want to come to the course and get a whole lot more than what you've gotten so far, it is in Tustin, California. That's in Orange County. We're right next to John Wayne National Airport. All that information, all the details, emails, information on where you can stay while you're here. And we've got nice arrangements with a nice hotel that's just a block away so you don't have to rent a car, is at www.hypnosis.org/NLP training. One word, NLP training. And you can get all that information. And if you want to give us a call, give information, it is 1-800-965-3390. Again, that's 1-800-965-3390. Is there anything else you want to add to this to wrap it up there, Will?
Just that, you know, I like teaching people this material because it changes the world one person at a time. And I think that's drastically needed. So I look forward to seeing everybody.
Well, thank you very much, Will, and thank you everybody that's on the call and everyone that's listening to this at a later date. Check out the website. So glad to have you on here. Also, there's other fun, informative Meet the Pros audios by like Jerry Valley, Roy Hunter, Sean Brookhouse, Tom Nicoli, Ron Esslinger, James Ramey, and we're adding more all the time. Thank you very much, Will, for being on the call. Thank you, everyone, for being on the call. This is Cal Banyan signing out.
This recording is the property of Cal Banyan and Cal Banyan's Banyan Publishing Incorporated. All rights reserved for private use only, may not be duplicated without written permission.